Today, President Trump continues to defend his comments about Russian election interference 3 days after his widely criticized news conference with Russian President Putin, in which he accepted Putin's denial of interference. On Twitter this morning, Trump called the summit a great success, vowed a second meeting with Putin. And also this morning, in more of his interview with CBS anchor Jeff Glor, we heard about Russia's offer to allow the U.S. to question indicted Russians in Russia if Russia can question people like President Obama's ambassador Michael McFaul about financing Putin critics. Last night, in that interview with Jeff Glor, Trump said he was firm with Putin in their one-on-one meeting about election interference.
I let him know we can't have this. We're not going to have it. And that's the way it's going to be.
But he denies it. So if you believe U.S. intelligence agencies, is Putin lying to you?
I don't want to get into whether or not he's lying. I can only say that I do have confidence in our intelligence agencies as currently constituted, I think.
Let's bring in NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson. Hi, Mara.
Hi there, Robin.
And tell us, what more did we hear today about this incredible, if they actually discussed it, possible deal with Russia?
Well, this is something that the president called an incredible offer twice in the press conference on Monday with Vladimir Putin. Sarah Sanders was asked about this yesterday. She said that the president would be meeting with his team about this, as if it was actually something that would be considered. The response to this has been another huge wave of outrage. Thomas Bossert, who was the president's former cybersecurity chief, kind of anti-terrorism NSA official, said that it was galling that this would be considered. Marco Rubio said, under no circumstances should we allow Russia to interrogate a former ambassador from the United States. He said no member of the House or Senate would agree with this. Lindsey Graham called it a joke and absurd. This is really become the new issue. Why hasn't didn't the president dismiss out of hand this notion that there would be some kind of that Putin would be allowed to have people come to Russia and be interrogated? This all is about just the backstory for this is all about the Magnitsky Act, which was passed in the United States, which allows sanctions to be put on individual Russian oligarchs. Putin doesn't like it. He blames former Ambassador Michael McFaul, who he wants to interrogate now for it, and also Bill Browder, who's a financial hedge fund guy who helped pass the Magnitsky Act. Yeah. He now lives in London.
And we remember that when the Russian operatives came to meet in the Trump Tower with members of the Trump family, that's what they wanted to talk about, the Magnitsky Act.
That's right.
Getting
that's
rid
right.
of that.
So and just so people know, adoptions is code word for the Magnitsky Act.
Okay, so there you go.
Because Russia stopped adoptions in response to the Magnitsky Act.
Okay, so that has flared up again. And the president is apparently considering this deal. So there's that. Then yesterday, Trump appeared to say no when asked if he thinks Russia is still targeting the current elections. The White House said that, you know, he was saying no to no more questions. The reporter who asked, the ABC reporter who asked, said no. He was looking right at me and said no. This was a day after he insisted that he misspoke when he said he didn't see why it would be Russia doing the hacking. This was the whole wouldn't. Republican Senator Susan Collins is calling this week a walk back of the walk back of the walk back of the walk back four. What else are people saying in Washington?
Well, one thing that people are talking about is what else did the president agree to in the private meeting with Vladimir Putin? The Russians have been saying that there were a lot of agreements made and they're really looking forward to moving forward on them. It seems like the Russians know a lot more about what Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump talked about when they were in that private meeting than our own White House and State Department officials.
Well, what about about the move to get one of the translators to come to Congress to report on that?
Well, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's already been defeated in the House. I think more importantly, Congress is expecting that the National Security Advisor, the Secretary of State, they're the ones who have to go up to Congress and say what was discussed in the private meeting, what was discussed in the larger bilateral meeting. I don't think the translator is ever going to be up there and deposed in Congress.
Yeah. Mara, do you think – I mean, it's Thursday – And these, firestorms tend to be put out, you know, by the next one. It's a volatile White House, and it's one that's, you know, the president has said he likes chaos. But do you where's this going? What he really believes and what U.S. policy is?
Well, this I don't think this one is going away. Now, whether it'll have any political impact is a whole different question. It might have none. But the White House has been unable, or the president himself has been unable, to put this one to rest. Every time, as you said, walk back of the walk back of the walk back. Every time he tries to clarify, he raises new questions. And the fact that there hasn't been a readout, there hasn't been any kind of accounting for what he did talk to Putin about or agreed to with Vladimir Putin, that's going to keep this thing alive. So I see this story as something that has some legs because it's really important. The president of the United States met with the president of Russia, and they apparently made some agreements.
It's Mara Liasson, NPR national political correspondent. Mara, thanks so much.
Thank you.